please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So we don't host a lot of parties, Carl and I. And when we do host, Carl is the one who plans everything. Is that correct? Yes, it is. He is the one who plans. What is the meal? He'll usually look for a new recipe out there. He figures out how he wants everything set up on the counter. Is it going to be buffet style? Are we sitting down? He does all the cleaning, whether we have a party or not. Carl is the one. As a matter of fact, if you ladies or gentlemen, if you want any cleaning tips, call my husband, because everyone calls him. What's the latest vacuum? What's the latest? I mean, he is up on everything. You see, that's not my thing. It's not what I do. What I do is I love to invite people into the home and then chat with them. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Why are you laughing? Everyone has to have someone who does that in the house. See, Carl's forte is prepping and planning and do that. And my forte is being with people and listening to people. We would tend to call that a role reversal, wouldn't we? Because everybody's laughing. I don't know if you're laughing at the fact that I do that or that Carl allows that to be done. Oh, what? I don't know. But yeah, it's a role reversal, right? But why is it a role reversal? Who set the role rules to begin with? If you ever want to know about that? Amen. Yeah. Who set that? So in some cases, it was legal, and it depends on the culture. It depends on your culture. Every culture is different, and there are cultures within a culture. The way people in Manhattan behave midtown are very different than the way people in Manhattan are downtown. Just walk around midtown and attempt to do that same walk downtown, and people will crash into you. So if you work midtown, you work downtown, you better know the style, the culture of the walk down there. So a culture is a system of attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors. Think about that. Attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors that constitute the distinctive way of life of a people. And within a culture, there are gender roles. Yes? In our culture, there are gender roles. The World Health Organization, who is the World Health Organization, defines gender roles as socially constructed roles, behaviors, and activities and attributes that a given society considers appropriate for a gender, for men and for women. You know, we're starting to bust through these, aren't we? These culturally defined gender roles. Let's take a look. I'll say, okay, so on the left, right, this is what we used to see with nursing staff all the time. Women were the nurses, who were the doctors?
Men.
Men. There used to be on All in the Family years ago that there was it was a riddle, I'm trying to think of what it was a little, I can't even think what it was, but it was a story that was told, a puzzle, how do you figure out who the surgeon was back then? And I don't remember it exactly, but the answer was that the surgeon was the boy's mother. And no one could figure that one out in the 1970s. Now what do we have on the right-hand side? We have male nurses. It's okay, you're good. Male nurses. Not uncommon at all today. On the left-hand side, is this not the typical, right? Who was the person who kept the home and raised the children? The female did that, right? What do you have on the right? I love this picture. Yeah, this would be Carl. We talked about it. We had children. I was the one who was going to continue to work, and Carl was the one who was going to stay home, take care of the house, and raise the children. Next. Dental assistants always used to be females. Because who was the dentist?
Men.
Yeah, and now dental assistants, we're finding men and women are also
the dentist. Let's look at the opposite. Who was the one who was always in the military?
The men.
Now who are in the military and serving? Women. Our daughter-in-law is a commander in the Coast Guard, and we're very proud of how far she has gone. Our son decided the military was not for him. Next one. This one I love. Who used to be the referees and umpires? Who are the referees and umpires now? Women. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the last one, thank you. What do you have on the left? Your pilot, right? That was always the men. And we used to call them stewardesses, remember? Now it's flight attendants, because now we have female pilots and we have male flight attendants.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we are breaking through. But you know something? This freedom didn't start with us. His freedom actually started with Jesus in this story. What was life like for first century Jewish women? I'm going to tell you what it was like. If you were married and you left your home, you had to wear a veil, because that would signify that you were married and that you were subordinate to your husband. I'm sorry, Terry? You're subordinate to her? Okay, this is back then. And actually, the gentlemen were not to even look at the women. They were not to acknowledge the women. This is outside. If they saw their neighbor, who they knew, who was a woman, they could not acknowledge her. They could not talk to her outside of the home. What was life like for the day of the life of a female Jewish woman? There were household chores and raising the children, watching the children. In the morning, the women would go out first thing in the morning, go to the well, and what they would do is they'd get the water for the day, and they'd come back. They'd go to the marketplace maybe one or two days a week, where they would purchase what they needed for the week. On a daily basis, they would grind the barley between millstones and make the bread. They would be doing spinning, weaving, mending, washing, making cheese and curds from goat milk. They would prepare supper. Supper would be bread and wine, and sometimes dry salted fish and boiled chicken, and their vegetables would be beans, lentils, cucumbers, leeks, and onions, and guess what dessert would be? Nuts, melons, figs, grapes, or pomegranates. The women made the clothing. Now, this isn't like they could go and buy the fabric, okay? They had to make the yarn or the thread from the raw wool or the flax. They usually dyed the threads themselves, but sometimes they could bring it to a dye shop and have that done. They would weave the yarn and thread into cloth, and they had these really, really wide weaving looms to do that, so the garments would be made from one piece. How about the education for women and for girls? Well, they were not given regular schooling. The girls were taught what they would need to know to fulfill her role as a wife and a mother. So they did have to learn the Jewish law on dietary restrictions and what was in and out, so to speak. They had to learn how to set the table. They had to learn how to decorate and purify the home and the table for the Sabbath and the special holidays. They had to learn how to spin, weave, treat illness with herbs, and also help deliver babies. Because of the household responsibilities, the Jewish wife and mother, she was exempt. She didn't have to go to certain religious observances. Now, we know, for example, that Mary would accompany Joseph when he would go to the temple at Passover. But the women weren't required to do that. They were not required to go to Jerusalem for the various feasts. They were not required to be present for the reading of the law, and they were not required to do the reciting of the daily Shema. And guess what? When they did go to the temple, women were not permitted to go all the way into the temple. They could only go as far as the court of women. And when they were in synagogues, they were basically bystanders. The home was the primary area for the woman, and the public arena was reserved for the men. The women were not permitted to be instructed in the ways of the law. So now, let's relook at our gospel. Now that we know that, Martha was preparing for Jesus and his disciples, as was customary. That is, she invited Jesus into her home. And so that was what was expected. But she felt incredibly overwhelmed. And the word distracted, the Greek word begins with peri. And we know peri is that circular. God bless you. And so it's almost as if she's so overwhelmed, she's running around in circles. Anybody ever do that when someone's coming into their home? Yeah. And her sister is sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting there with the disciples, listening to Jesus as Jesus teaches. To sit and to listen was not what a woman's role was. She was breaking the cultural norms of that time. She was breaking the gender role and the gender rules. What Mary was doing was socially inappropriate for a woman. She was listening and she was learning. Mary was violating the cultural expectations, and Mary and Martha basically calls her out. She's basically saying, busted. Jesus, would you tell her to get up and get inside and help me? That is where her place is, not here. Now, when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, he is not scolding her. He wants her to take a deep breath, calm herself down for what he's about to say to her next. He fully appreciates what she has done for him, and he recognizes the work that Martha is doing that is expected of her, that she is the female in the home, and it is the gender role, and he validates her for what she's doing. But what's happening at the very same time is that Jesus is validating Mary and what Mary is doing. And that takes nothing away from Martha. Jesus is validating Mary and her call to follow Jesus in a way that was not expected of women. And I don't even want to say it was not expected. It was actually not even permitted. It is scandalous and outrageous that Jesus allows Mary to sit in the room with the disciples at his feet. Jesus is breaking the social norms. He is making everyone equal, both Mary and Martha. There's no gender role in Christ. And yet, for some reason, we still live that way, don't we? Jesus has set us free, and yet, for some reason, we have not freed ourselves from these chains that bind us. Gentlemen, you're free to mop the floor. You're free to cook dinner. You're free to raise the children. And you're also free to be a CEO and a business owner and anything else you want to be. You are free to hug and to love openly. You are free to laugh uncontrollably until the tears roll down your face, and you are free to cry uncontrollably until the tears are running down your face. And ladies, you are free to be a firefighter, to be a business owner, to be a CEO, to cook, to clean, to raise children, to be, did I say CEO? To be a pastor. You are free to hug and love openly. You are free to laugh uncontrollably until the tears roll down your face, and you are free to cry uncontrollably until the tears run down your face. You see, Jesus is breaking the cultural constraints and setting people free for God's kingdom. And this is radical. This is true for us today. We need to break out, to burst out, to bust out of the cultural roles defined, so that all may serve in God's kingdom as the Holy Spirit calls us to serve. Jesus calls for us to break out, to bust out of the chains that bind us, and serve as we are called by the Holy Spirit. We are freed from, that's the busted out part, we are freed from what this world says we are supposed to do and we're supposed to be, so that we can do and be who we are to begin with, children of God, who together have been called to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to serve God uniquely. In Christ, the only thing that has been busted is our gender roles. In Christ, we can say, gender role busted. Serve and be as the Holy Spirit calls you to be, to serve and to be. Amen.